Most venerable Bhikkhu Sangha, distinguished guests and Dhamma friends, I feel so happy to come here and visit this holy Vihara. I have been hearing so much about this organization. They have done so wonderful work. Large number of people in this part of the India have started taking interest in the teachings of Buddha. Many of them have started living the life according to the teachings of Buddha. I was born in a very staunch, conservative, Sanatani Hindu family, brought up in that environment. According to the tradition, my mind was conditioned that Buddha is incarnation of Lord Vishnu, so we must pay all respect, but his teaching is not good for us. This is what we were told from our childhood. So I kept myself always away from Buddha's teaching, although born and brought up in a country where vast majority of the people are followers of Buddha, very close friends of mine. But I never even tried to understand what Buddha taught. I was fortunate that I developed a very severe type of migraine headache for which there was no treatment available. The best doctors in Burma used all kinds of painkillers, it didn't work. They started giving me morphine injection. Every 10-15 days an attack comes and they give morphine injection. It went on for 3-4 years. Then they also got worried that I might become morphine addict. So they said, you are going for your business so many times around the world, at least forget business and go around to come out of morphine. This type of migraine, there is no treatment, but at least they will have some painkiller which will work. I was also worried to become a morphine addict, so painful. So I went around the world, best doctors in Switzerland, in England, in Germany, in USA, in Japan. Nobody could take me out of morphia, migraine far away. When I came back, a friend of mine who was Attorney General of Burma at that time, later on he became Supreme Court judge, he pressed me hard. You take a 10-day course of Vipassana. Your case is a psychosomatic case. Certainly you will get benefit. I hesitated. This is Buddhism. And these Buddhists don't believe in soul. They don't believe in God. They are Gnostic. If I become Gnostic, what will happen? I might go to hell. So no, I may die. Swadharme nidhanam shreya paradharma bhayavah. This was the training. I cannot go to Buddhism. Few months I kept on hesitating. Then I was asked just to see, just to meet the teacher. And the teacher was also a householder and a high government official. He was the first accountant general of independent Burma. When I met him, such a saintly person, such a saintly person. He just asked me a few questions. I told him my hesitation. I told him that I am suffering from migraine. He said, don't come to me for migraine. You are devaluing such a high spiritual teaching. That teaching is to take you out of all the miseries of life and death, and you want to use it for your migraine. Don't do that. Come for the purification of mind, and this will be just as a byproduct. You will get the benefit. But don't have the aim of coming here to get yourself cured of migraine. Still my hesitation was there. So he asked me that you are a leader of Hindu community here. You just tell me, in your Hindu religion, is there any objection to morality? Morality? What objection there can be to morality? No religion has got any objection to live a life of morality. We will teach you morality here, Shila. But how can you live a moral life unless you have control over the mind? You can't live a moral life. So we will teach you controlling the mind, and that we call samadhi. Any objection? Oh, my Hindu scriptures full of samadhis. This muni went and had samadhi, that rishi went and samadhi. We are householders. If somebody teaches me samadhi, no sir, no objection. That is not sufficient. By samadhi, you will calm down your mind, you will purify your mind just at the surface level. Deep inside, anusaya klesha, deep inside, the habit pattern of generating impurity is still there. So unless you eradicate that, you will not be out of your misery. And for that we teach you panya. Panya. In Sanskrit we say pragya. Any objection? What objection? I have been reading Gita. I was actually teaching Gita. Sthita pragyasya ka bhasha. Who is a sthita pragya? Pragya, pragya, pragya. We talk so much of pragya. If you teach pragya, wonderful sir. I have no objection. That's all. Shila, samadhi, pragya, nothing else. This is the teaching of Buddha. And this is what he said. Keval paripunnam. It is totality. This is the complete dhamma. Keval parishuddham. Pure, ultra pure. Nothing to be added to it. Not necessary to it. Paripunna. It is complete. And parishuddha. Nothing to be taken out. This is what I am going to teach. If you have no objection, come. I thought, let me give a trial. And made a strong determination that I will give a trial, but I won't become a Buddhist. I will remain a Hindu and let me give a trial. Third day, fourth day, it became so clear that the whole teaching is so pure. I am talking of Gita, sthita pragya, pragya. This is applied Gita, practical Gita. There we are just talking about pragya, pragya. How to get established in panya? There is no technique. There is no way. And here they are teaching the way. I was so fascinated, attracted. 10 days it made such a big change. Moksha went totally. Migraine went totally in 10 days. And not only that, that was very trivial benefit. Actual benefit, I was such an ego-centered person. Just within my mid-20s, I was so successful in life. Made so much money and so much position, power, status in the society. All that went in my head. Became such an ego-centered person, such a short-tempered person. That made me so miserable. And this wonderful path. The ego started getting dissolved. The anger started getting diminishing. It changed the person. Such a wonderful technique. And I was running away from it. Buddhism, what Buddhism? This is pure dharma. Every religion of the world, now I find people from every religion of the world are coming to take courses. Because every religion of the world has this essential core. Live a life of morality, full of ethics. Every religion accepts it. Live a disciplined mind, a pure mind, full of love, compassion, goodwill. Every religion accepts it. Outer shell differs. Every religion has different outer shell. That is unimportant. The essence is live a moral life, have a disciplined mind, pure mind, full of love and compassion. So when I discuss with people from different religions, they agree, this is all right. I am teaching only this. Come, try. And when they try, they get so much benefit. Human being is human being. Out of ignorance, one keeps on generating these defilements, craving, aversion, raga, dvesha, out of moha, ignorance, avidya, one does not know what is happening deep inside. Now by this technique it becomes so clear. The interaction of mind and matter, how mind is influencing the matter, how matter is influencing the mind, how defilements arise, and how they keep on multiplying, and they overpower you. And once you are overpowered, you do things at the vocal level and physical level which you would not have done otherwise. and later on you repent, I should not have said like this, I should not have done like this. Next time again, you take the same kind of action, because you have got no, the habit pattern is so strong at the depth and you have not broken it. You are still a slave of your habit pattern. Buddha, a wonderful physician, Mahabhishaka, this mental illness, he had a wonderful way to eradicate that illness in a very scientific way, not by some magic or miracle, not that a person like Angulimala Buddha put his hand on his head and he became a saint. Nothing like this. One has to work. One has to work out one's own salvation. Tumehi kicchaṁ ātappaṁ akkhā tāro tathāgata. Every Buddha will only show the path. You have to take every step on the path and get liberated. Nobody else can liberate you. It attracted me so much. No blind faith, no blind belief, and so scientific, so result-oriented. I took my friends to these courses, I took members of my family, hundreds of people, Indians there in Burma, they took these courses, same result, everyone gets the same result. When I came to India, different people from different communities, different traditions, they come, the same result, the same result. Melody is universal. Throughout the world, every human being has the same melody, developing defilements, and remaining a miserable life. Whether one is a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian or a Jain, makes no difference. Everyone is miserable because of these defilements, and the technique is such that everyone can practice. The technique wants you to observe the breath, natural breath, as it comes in, as it goes out. What sectarianism in it? You can't say the breath is Hindu or Muslim or Christian, breath is breath, a human breath. Anybody can feel it, anybody can work on it. So people are coming easily. And later on when you switch over to Vipassana, you observe the interaction of mind and matter, how anger arises, how it multiplies, how it overpowers you, how passion arises, how fear arises, how ego arises. You observe. It becomes weaker, passes away. Now when the anger comes, you can't label it a Hindu anger or a Muslim anger or a Buddhist anger. Anger is anger. And because of that, you become so miserable. That misery also you can't label this as Buddhist misery or the Hindu misery. Misery is misery. And the technique that is given, just observe, do nothing. Anger is a reason, there must be a sensation in the body. Sabbe dhamma vedana samosarana. Buddha found out that everything that arises in the mind arises with a flow of sensation on the body. A great discovery of this enlightened person. A great discovery. And you give importance to these sensations. Just observe. Your habit pattern starts changing. You are coming out of your misery. Everyone gets the same result. They are so happy. So the contribution of Buddha to the entire humanity is so result-oriented, so non-sectarian, that people have no objection. If you tell them, come, I'll make a Buddhist out of you, nobody will come, they will run away. They won't listen even. I say, you call yourself Hindu for the whole life, a Muslim for the whole life, a Christian. Be a good human being. The Dharma makes you a good human being. Live a peaceful life, harmonious life within, and generate peace and harmony for the atmosphere outside. You are happy, others are happy. It's a good life, a way of life, a healthy way of life, wholesome way of life. People accept it and they get the result, the same result. That is why it is progressing. This is how it progressed at the time of Buddha, and after that for about 500 years in India and in different parts of the world, kept on. And this is how now people are accepting it easily. Large number of people in different countries, from different traditions, they accept it and they get the same result. You are very fortunate that you are here in the land of Buddha. Every Buddha arises only in India, in this land only. And the Dhamma arises in this land. Although for some time it was lost in this country, but again it has started. People like our Bhantes, they have again started working. So even a small candle, it starts giving light. Darkness is all around. One candle becomes 10 candles, 100 candles, 1,000 candles, the light will be there. Without condemning others, we never condemn other religions. This is not our job. We just place before people what is good, and that good is acceptable by everybody. Enough. I always remember the edicts of Ashoka. He says there, never condemn any religion. If you condemn other religions, you are digging the grave of your religion. Never condemn other religion. There is always something good in every religion. Give importance to that something good. Wherever there is differences, forget it. Wherever there is no difference, give importance to this. And the Buddha's words are the same. People used to come and try to debate and discuss philosophical points. He will say, no, let us discuss on points where there is no difference, where we agree. In Shila there is no difference, Samadhi no difference, Panya no difference. Let us discuss that. And not only discuss, you try, you practice. And when people practice, then all other differences become meaningless. Meaningless. This is the most essential part, the core part of every dharma, every religion, and people accept it. In the same way now, dhamma is arising, time has ripened. You are all fortunate that you are here with this wonderful atmosphere of dhamma. May you all keep on growing in dhamma. May you all get the best fruits of dhamma. May you all get liberated from the miseries. May you all be happy, be peaceful, be happy, be peaceful.